Blog
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb. It was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's another day.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers. Television is a...
I have no idea what's going on. I apologize. It's another day on Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. The number's 347-308-8701, 2 minutes after the hour. I don't even know what that was, JC. Some sort of audio difficulty. But nonetheless, we're on the air on this Therapy Thursday, April the 12th. That's right, the 12th, 2012. I have a feeling that today is supposed to be something important. I feel like I've missed someone's birthday. I don't know exactly whose birthday it is, but I have this strange feeling like somebody's birthday is today. Not exactly sure, but I know it's out there. Someone was born today. How big can you possibly get? Well, I don't want to get into the Trayvon Martin thing until a little while. I'll wait to get into that in a little while. We've dragged that story all over the place. And we did a good job. So, we'll wait a little bit because there is some news that broke today that's related to the case. Not directly, but indirectly. And had to do with our favorite chief of staff. But we'll get into that later. Today we need to talk about women. The role of women. Now, some people may think out there, what's Reese going to say about women? Well, look, I may be a chauvinist to some degree. I'm an old school kind of guy. Come from an old school background. And I like the days of yesteryear. I'm a Ward Cleaver, June Cleaver. I'm a Beeve fan. And if I could, if things really worked out that way, the woman stays at home, ladies and gentlemen, if she can. Now, I'm not going to say anything subjective like, you know, or subversive like they should be barefoot and pregnant. I believe that women should have on shoes. They look sexy that way. High heels, preferably. But the bottom line is that women should be in the home, especially when there are children involved. They must be there to raise our young ones. Our little younglings, youngsters, future thugs, whoever they are. Don't cut me off, JC. Let me finish. I'm on a tirade here.
Yearlings.
Whatever. The little child, or children for that matter. Sometimes I think that a woman should be knocked up as often as possible, but within your means. Don't go nuts. We're not raising any welfare babies here. But yes, in the grand scheme of things, that's exactly how it should be. Because it is important for there to be a mother in the home raising the children. It's an important job, ladies and gentlemen. And there are women out there who know it. Because they do it. And there are women out there who understand the value of child rearing. Oh, but some of you sloppy broads, you don't get it. Some of you sloppy broads, you can't possibly understand it. You feminazis will never get it. Because you're too busy competing with men. Oh, here we go. But you know who you are. You don't want to be feminine anymore. You don't want to look cute and dainty and pretty. You don't want to be feminine anymore. No, you wanna have britches. You want to wear pantsuits like Hillary Clinton and dominate the world. Let me finish. My monologue isn't finished yet. I knew I was going to get one of you nags to get up in this. But let me finish, and you can argue all you want, but let me finish. So let me get my point across. It's valuable. Sure it is. It's valuable because I said it is. I agree. Listen, I opened up my statement by saying I'm a chauvinist. But for good reason. It's because women don't want to be women anymore. Women are afraid to be ladies anymore.
That's because we can't depend on a man.
Hey, speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. If you were in a good and decent enough union, and your man respects you as a woman and respects what it is that you do and how it is that you put it down.
You're crying.
Yeah, exactly. You will be respected. You can depend on your man as long as you remain the woman that he loves, the woman that he fell in love with. You know, the pretty look, the feminist, you know, the wait for the man to open the door for you. Let the man carry the groceries. Let the man be a man. But now, a man being a man that's shunned on. That's violated. Is vitriolic statements about men being macho, being men. That's why the men out there today have gotten so feminine, so sensitive.
Metros. Punks.
Yeah, metros. Punks, I call them. Mark-ass busters, as they say in the hood. Okay, they don't say that anymore, but I still do.
No.
But let me tell you why what I'm saying has hit such a fever pitch. Now, Mary, why are you bugging? You got to come over here because you got to hear this audio.
Give her a muzzle.
You got to hear this audio. And you got to tell me what it is that you think. Because, see, there are women out there, the nags, the feminazis, who don't like women who stay at home and take care of their family. They think they don't measure up. They believe that a woman, in order for her to be, I don't know, counted, must be out in the workforce challenging her male counterparts. Because if she's at home, she's in some subservient role. That she's weak because she decides to be a homemaker. Now the word homemaker is a pejorative. Man, let me tell you something. When I was in foster care when I was a kid, I lived in a foster home, and you know when they put you in a foster home, they usually put you in with a respectful, very, very organized family. And I had these two people, God rest them, Helen and Oliver Patterson. And Oliver Patterson, he was this guy who worked for transit. He worked for the MTA. He worked on the subways. He wasn't a conductor. He didn't have a cushy job. He worked out there on the railroad. I've been working on the railroad. You saw it when he came home. Now, Helen, who we called Ma, she was a stay-at-home mother in Southside Jamaica, Queens. Yes, 50 Cent land. And she stayed at home, and she took care of me and my biological brother, Charles. We were in her foster care. And she sat around and she baked. She peeled potatoes and she made dinner. And she watched General Hospital. And she watched The Price is Right. She watched those soap operas. But she would be at the dining room table with the TV on, watching the news, the midday, the afternoon's news programs. And she's peeling potatoes. Or she's preparing dinner. Snapping green beans. I know the brothers remember that. Snapping green beans in a colander. And then Oliver came home. We called him Unky. It was Ma and Unky. And they came home. He came home. Dinner was ready for him. And he sat in his lazy boy. One of them, it was a newfangled ones back then. Where you had to pull the lever, put the feet up. He'd sit there and he'd watch the evening news. And he'd go, "Hey, Helen, when dinner going to be ready?" And Helen would always say, "In a minute, dear, in a minute." She had that dinner on the table. She put out a little TV tray for him. And he sat there and he ate his dinner while all the rest of us had to sit at the table. Not Unky. Unky had his feet up, watching his evening news with a dinner tray in front of him, eating his news separate from anybody else. But you respected that man. You ain't touched that TV until he told you. That's the way it was. And Ma had apple pie, lemon pie, pumpkin pie.
Stop it. You going overboard.
She had pie. Every damn day she had a pie waiting for dessert. But today you can't do that. Oh, you can't do it because there are women out there who will ostracize you, call you names like Susie Homemaker to disrespect you. Now, I don't care that this woman is a lesbian. It don't matter to me. But a lot of those feminazis are. Those lesbian feminazis, they're the ones who are out there. They're the ones who are out there ridiculing and ostracizing women like Ma, like Helen Patterson, my foster mother. Ostracizing them for being Susie Homemakers. Making fun of them. So, Hillary Rosen is this woman's name, and she was on CNN. And so they're having a conversation about Mitt Romney and how Mitt Romney can't identify with women. And Mitt Romney said he goes to his wife, and he asked her, "What are some of the issues that you're hearing from women? Because you're a woman, you relate to the women. Tell me what it is you're hearing." And my wife tells me that women are worried about the economy and this and that. But a feminazi, she ain't trying to hear that from somebody like Ann Romney, because Ann Romney's a stay-at-home mom.
I don't think she said it for those reasons.
Oh, yes, she did. Listen to what she says.
Well, first, could we just get rid of this word war on women? The Obama campaign does not use it. President Obama does not use it. This is something that the Republicans are accusing people of using, but they're actually the ones spreading it. With respect to economic issues, I think actually that Mitt Romney's right, that ultimately women care more about the economic well-being of their families and the like. But he doesn't connect on that issue either. What you have is Mitt Romney running around the country saying, "Well, you know, my wife tells me that what women really care about are economic issues. And when I listen to my wife, that's what I'm hearing." Guess what? His wife has actually never worked a day in her life. She's never really dealt with the kinds of economic issues that a majority of the women in this country are facing in terms of how do we feed our kids, how do we send them to school, and how do we worry, and why do we worry about their future? So I think it's, yes, it's about these positions, and yes, I think there will be a war of words about the positions, but there's something much more fundamental about Mitt Romney. He seems so old-fashioned when it comes to women, and I think that comes across, and I think that that's going to hurt him over the long term. He just doesn't really see us as equal.
He doesn't see us as equal. How could he? He's got Ann Romney at home raising five boys. He doesn't see women as equal. And how dare her be allowed to talk about economic issues? She don't know nothing about that. She don't know nothing about money. She don't make no money. She sits in the house with five boys. And she's wealthy. She ain't got to raise nothing. What does she know? And Hillary Rosen is bitter. She's a bitter nag.
She's ridiculous.
No, come on now. How is Ann Romney? How does she know nothing about where it is? Wait. Just let me ask the question and you answer it. I'll let you filibuster. Just answer the question. How does Ann Romney not know about how important or anything about where our kids go to school? How to feed our children. How does she not know that? That's what Hillary Rosen just said.
I think that what Hillary Rosen meant was Ann Romney doesn't know anything about having to go out and make money herself to feed her children or to be able to afford to send them to whatever school they want to because they were in a fortunate situation where her husband was the breadwinner, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and that's fine.
So she never balanced a checkbook?
I'm not saying she never balanced a checkbook. She may not have been balancing that checkbook. I mean, she may have been balancing that checkbook, but she was balancing that checkbook. That checkbook was based off of the money that her husband was going out and earning every day.
I'm glad you said that.
It wasn't anything. She didn't have to go into a place of employment and deal with everyday employer.
I'm gonna let the guys get in on this, but let me just finish this with you, Mary, because I'm gonna break this down for you. Okay? Now, the issue was whether or not Ann Romney was qualified to talk about women's financial issues.
I don't think that she is.
It's what she just said. Do you have to play it again?
I don't think that Ann Romney is qualified to speak on women's financial issues.
As a stay-at-home mom?
No.
And you're saying because she hasn't worked.
Exactly.
Right? Because she hasn't worked a job.
Yeah, because she can't understand that.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. What about welfare mothers?
Welfare mothers don't know either. Not if they ain't going to work.
So
they've never had no job.
So wait. So if they've never had a job, they don't know finances?
No, if they've never had a job, they don't understand the working class
But what she's talking about issues. Is financial issues. And
well, when you think about financial issues, how do you get finances to work it?
Do I have to play Hillary Rosen's statement again?
No, I'm not. When you talk about finances, you have to go to work in order to receive those finances. Do you not?
No, I'm not disputing that. But what I asked you was whether or not Hillary Rosen's statements were accurate. You're telling me that Ann Romney.
I'm not saying that Hillary Rosen should have put. It basically kind of sounded like she was putting her down because she's never had to work. She said she's never had to work a day in her life. No, she hasn't had to work for money. She did have to work to raise her children.
She has no financial background.
When it comes to working, she obviously.
So you're
not.
Saying that the only way you know about money and finances is if you have a job.
Well, that's the only way you can really.
What if she went? Whoa! Ann Romney
didn't go. She didn't. She stayed at home and watched and raised her kids.
Ann Romney didn't go to college.
Did she go to college? What degree does she have? What does she have a degree in? Does she have a?
Wait.
It doesn't matter what you have a degree in if you never have to apply that anywhere. What the hell does?
Are you telling me she didn't have to apply it while raising five kids?
She probably didn't have to apply some of it, Reese. But to understand what the working class woman goes through, she cannot.
Okay, if I may, guys, before I put...
when I say working, I mean working for a paycheck, having to go out and work for a paycheck.
Can I play you this audio, and then we'll get your response afterwards,
yeah.
And we'll let the guys
go
in?
Go right on ahead.
All right.
Maria Smith is a suburban Atlanta stay-at-home mom of three with a fourth on the way. She considers herself a liberal, but was shocked when she heard Hillary Rosen's comments.
I felt offended. I felt mad. I felt like this is someone who I thought was on my side, but actually really didn't understand me.
Today, she discovered she wasn't the only one with a visceral reaction.
I have talked about this today at preschool pickup. I was at the playground talking with some moms about it, and I was kind of surprised at how many people have picked up on the story.
A story that started out as a political discussion has revived a very different conversation, decades old, hitting an apparently still raw nerve about a woman's place. Leslie Jane Seymour has worked at women's magazines for 25 years and is now editor of More.
Welcome to the Mommy Wars version 2012. I bet you that every single woman on the train, my train home tonight, is going to be talking about this. Somebody threw one little match in the pile there and the whole thing ignited.
That's clear from impassioned posts on the comment sections of news and women's websites like our own iVillage.
Women are not a monolithic interest group.
Kelly Wallace is chief correspondent for iVillage and a working mom.
This debate totally resonates. I think about this issue all the time because I, of course, feel conflict like I think so many other women. When I hear my little ones running around the playground and I'm not there, I think, wow, I wish I could be there. It doesn't get any more emotional, I think, than the mommy wars.
On the Huffington Post, a columnist suggests that for the election, the Hillary Rosen kerfuffle means absolutely nothing. But for women, it's giving new life to an unsettled and unsettling debate. Chris Jansing, NBC News, New York.
Here is clearly the divide, the continental divide. Is that stay-at-home moms are being marginalized for being know-nothings
about
finances. No. You're saying that. That's exactly what you're saying. Is that stay-at-home moms are being marginalized because they're not a part of the workforce, so how could they be a part of the economic conversation or the financial conversation? And the argument here is that is a farce. That is bull. Hold on. That is their argument. Let's get the guy's view on this, since we've chimed in extensively. On the phone with us, of course, is our good friend, the Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery, and JC, the producer. James, I'll let you go first.
Woman, get in that kitchen and make me some turkey pot pie.
Yeah, he's quoting The Breakfast Club, for those of you who don't know. But James, come on. Is Mary right? Is she wrong? Is Helen...
God, what a minefield on this one. But I actually, even though it's part of my party, I have to go on the other side here because my mom, who did work, when she retired, she stayed home and she raised us. So you couldn't tell her when she was home that she didn't know what was going on out there or economic issues because, you know, the stay-at-home mom, has to go shopping.
She worked.
Well, no, he said when she didn't work.
But she did work. She did work. She retired. Mm-hmm. Listen to what he's saying. Of course she knows what was going on out there because she was working and retired, and she worked long enough to be able to retire.
So you're saying – wait. So you're saying that if you've never, ever worked – In the world, you're saying that there's a separation between the real world and homemakers. Is that your claim?
It's not that there's a separate. Listen, you can't sit here if I'm sitting here talking to a stay-at-home mom that has never held a job, never held a job at a place of employment because she holds a very important job in the home. And that's fine. I'm not disregarding that. She's working a very important job at home. But when she doesn't have the responsibility and never had the responsibility to have to get up in the morning, go to a place of employment, deal with employees, deal with an employer, deal with any of those things that come along with working for a company or working for someone else and receiving a paycheck in turn for your work, no, you cannot sit here and tell me that you know what I'm going through.
Okay, unfortunately.
Or that you understand.
Unfortunately, the only thing that separates Ann Romney from a working mom is a paycheck, because what Ann Romney did raising five boys was indeed work, your own claim. So what she does in the home...
She did work, but it was different work than a woman that has to get up and go to work at a place of business every single day in order
to
contribute.
No, yeah, I'm trying to figure
this
out.
It's totally different because you go through totally different things.
Ann Romney practically ran a daycare center without pay. I mean, if you really think about
it. Well, she was getting paid.
I understand that, but she wasn't receiving a paycheck, as we just determined. She doesn't.
While her kids were out at school, she was probably out shopping.
What about the babies? What about the babies?
Well, at some point, they all had to be in school.
But I understand that, but don't forget, she was still...
And she was probably out shopping, having tea with her girlfriend. That's
such a vitriolic thing to say. I don't
You know, I can't believe it's the female of the show saying
I
think she's on the Obama payroll.
See, I knew one of y'all was going to bring it around to him.
No.
This ain't got nothing to do with Barack Obama. This has to do with the fact that I can sit here and tell you that I could not sit and tell any woman that is a stay-at-home mom and has been a stay-at-home mom for her entire motherhood what it was like. I couldn't sit here and tell her I knew what it was like to stay at home with kids because I don't have any, and I never did it. Just like you can't tell me what it's like to go to work every day if you ain't never had one and you ain't never had to do it. You can't.
So you're really, really saying that...
You can't tell me you know what I go through.
Okay, I understand that you have to deal with personalities, you have to deal with egos, and you have to deal with the workplace.
You have to deal with harassment.
Yes,
you
I
have
understand.
To deal with...
I understand.
You have to do that and just stay home, because sooner or later you got to... You have to pack up the kids. You got to go shopping.
Those are different issues, James. I'm not saying anyone is more or better or worse or... more equivalent to the other. I'm just saying they're different. And you can't tell me you know one if you ain't never done it.
But hold on. Everybody who has heard these statements, from Michelle Obama to David Axelrod to even Obama himself, have completely distanced themselves from Hillary Rosen's statements, saying that even Obama gave a speech today where he clearly said that When Michelle Obama was home on maternity leave, her job at home was tough, and she had to deal
I'm
with...
I'm not saying it's not tough.
I'm not
discounting that.
But she had to... Wait. She dealt with the finances at home. When her husband was out at events, she had to deal with the events that Hillary Rosen... Wait. She had to deal with the events that Hillary Rosen is claiming that... That Hillary Rosen is claiming Ann Romney never had to deal with.
No. She's not. No, I don't think that she is claiming that. I think that
How
maybe
is she not?
What she... Wait a minute. Don't play the audio again. I think that she may have misconstrued her own words. It may not have come out the right way. My personal opinion is that I don't care if you're balancing a checkbook. If you're my husband and you go to work every single day and I stay at home with the kids and I'm balancing the checkbook and I'm paying the bills, okay, I understand that part of it. But I still don't understand the part when you have to go into the office and deal with all this other stuff in life. I can't sit here and tell you I can relate to that because I can't.
But the question, hold on. But the question was women's finance. This is in a vacuum. You're taking it outside of that. The question was...
I think what she meant by women's finances was women's finances that are financed through those women.
I don't...
Not through their husbands.
You know what? You said I don't need to play the audio again. I think I do.
Go ahead.
I think you need to hear it. Pardon me, guys.
Well, first, could we just get rid of this word war on women? The Obama campaign does not use it. President Obama does not use it. This is something that the Republicans are accusing people of using, but they're actually the ones spreading it. With respect to economic issues, I think actually that Mitt Romney's right, that ultimately women care more about the economic well-being of their families and the like. But he doesn't connect on that issue either. What you have is Mitt Romney running around the country saying, well, you know, my wife tells me that what women really care about are economic issues. And when I listen to my wife, that's what I'm hearing. Guess what? His wife has actually never worked a day in her life. She's never really dealt with the kinds of economic issues that a majority of the women in this country are facing in terms of how do we feed our kids, how do we send them to school, and how do we worry, and why do we worry about their future. So I think it's, yes, it's about these positions, and yes, I think there will be a war of words about the positions. But
how do we feed our... She said, for example...
But what she means... But I think that what... Yes, how do we feed our kids?
Got taken out of context.
What school we send them to, and so on and so on. What she's talking about, the general female public, which in today's world... Hold on, Reese. The general female public are not stay-at-home moms. They have to go to work every day. They have to earn that money to feed their kids. Let me finish. They have to earn that money along with their spouses or their partners or on their own in order to feed their children, in order to send their children to decent schools, in order to provide their children with a decent life and a decent future. They have to earn that money. Romney did not have to earn the money in the same sense that working women that are in the workforce have to earn their money. Now, she had a job. Ann Romney had a job. She had a job to stay at home and take care of her children, which is fine. Once again, I'm not discounting that. If I had children, I would want to be able to do the same thing. But the average American woman in this country today is incapable of doing that because of either some type of circumstance. And no, I don't think that she can be Romney's advisor on how women are in the workforce today. She cannot, because she's never been there.
Okay.
James, make the final statement. Make one more statement. We'll go to a break and we'll come back to it. Go ahead.
Okay. I do think it got a little taken out of context, because I think what she's saying is that she's never really had to worry about it, because I don't think it was because of the fact that she wasn't working. It's because her husband, you know, they had the right money. They, you know,
they're
their choices, they had way more choices than a lot of other people do who are struggling. All right? You weren't struggling or worrying about that. You never had to worry about that.
All right.
Because you already had it.
All right.
They had struggles, but their struggles were different.
We'll talk about that aspect of this when we come back. Your argument here, and when we come back, we'll talk about that. The argument here is that Ann Romney was wealthy. So therefore, what could she still possibly know about finances, because she had the means? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll break that down for you. And I will scream on these elitist snobs when we get back on Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wrap? Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh patties, retreat.
the new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Reese.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Reese on the Radio, and we are back 39 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Let me drag the boys back into the queue. They're having a little private conversation on the side. So, you know, we're talking about this this whole argument about Hillary Rosen and her comments about Ann Romney, the wife of a GOP presidential candidate, Mitt Romney. And the fact that because she was a stay-at-home mom, that she couldn't possibly understand what it was like to deal with important issues that women deal with every day, like what schools our children are going to go to, how much it costs for food, and our children's future. These are Hillary Rosen's words. Mary, Mary, why are you bugging? And again, if I must emphasize why I gave her this, because sometimes she's just bugging. And I, you know, it, the guys are here, three men are sitting up here defending the role of the stay-at-home mom. And Mary, who I thought, and I'll be honest with you, you know, James gets on my case about assuming what people are going to think. James hates that about me. Kool-Aid Man can't stand it that I do that. And I have to admit, he's right. This is the reason why I'm only 67 to 68% right all the time, because there are moments like this when I'm proven completely wrong. I thought that Mary, Mary, why you bugger was going to come on the air and is going to go, what is this woman, crazy? My grandmother was a stay-at-home. But no. Mary, Mary, why you bugging says that Ann Romney can't know a damn thing about finances. Even though I'm asking her about finances, Mary believes that finances, the entire grouping of the word finances, can only be defined by a woman who actually works. In other words, if she doesn't collect a paycheck, she doesn't understand the rigors of a woman going out making that paycheck and then financing her home. Is that fair to say, Mayor? And I can't believe I just called you Mayor. I apologize.
No, that's my nickname. Everybody calls me.
Well, I like to let people know your name is Mary Mary. I want them to I want that to stick in their head, especially today.
No, she cannot understand what it's like to go out and work if she never had to.
So
what Miss Rosen, I believe, I presume of what Miss Rosen was really trying to say was, again, the average woman in America today has to go out and work. There are many less stay-at-home moms in today's world in 2012 than there were in previous years, where the man was the breadwinner and he made enough bread so that the wife wouldn't have to, or the girlfriend or whatever, or the baby mama wouldn't have to go out and get a job. But in today's world, when it costs $3,000 for an apartment in Arlington, Virginia, you have to have two people working. You have to.
I understand that because of today's economy, two people in a relationship, especially in a family, we need a two-income household. I understand that. Because people, and not just because the economy is bad, but nowadays people want more. And in order to obtain those things, they need a two-income household. I do understand that. But you're really, really, for me, and what it is that you're saying, I almost feel like you're saying that a stay-at-home mom is unqualified to some degree to deal with the issue of finances. That's where, and you know, we can scream and holler all day, but that's the part that I'm having trouble with as far as your view is concerned. You're saying that the woman who stays at home and raises children is somehow unqualified to deal with finances.
Not completely unqualified, not in every aspect of dealing with finances. Most of us can do math, okay? So I'm assuming that Mrs. Romney has some math skills. She can add, subtract, divide. We have calculators for that. You don't even have to think.
But what if she went to college?
Punch a number. Whatever. That's fine. So I'm sure that she could sit and balance a checkbook.
And you consider that menial? Do you consider
no,
that
I
menial?
I don't consider that menial.
Okay.
You can sit and balance a checkbook. That's fine. But that is only one part to dealing with finances. You don't know what you're balancing. You can't comprehend what you're balancing if you didn't you can't comprehend the part of how to obtain what you were balancing or how someone.
But her husband. Wait. But her.
I understand
Wait. Her husband is a part of her team. And her husband goes out there and he earns the money. He brings it into the to their bank account, and she manages that money. She is a money manager. In essence, that that's a real job. You know that. So she is, in essence, not only a...
And if you look at most money managers in a real job at any firm anywhere...
Right.
They can't even use a damn fax machine.
Well, again, but...
They need to have a secretary or somebody from down the hallway. Can you show me how to use this copier?
Mary,
I need to go from one side to two-sided.
She is, in essence... No. In all sense of her job, she is a money manager. She makes sure that the bills are paid, that the roof, that, you know, that if there's a problem with the pool, and we'll deal with her wealth, that, you know, there's a problem with the pool. She's got to make sure the pool gets clean. There's a problem with the rudder. She makes sure the rudder guy comes in and she
goes.
But
how do we know that she did that? You're talking
about. Whoa. She didn't wake up one day and she was rich.
But do you. No, her husband was making that money, not her.
So what? Are you telling me?
That was her husband's
money.
You
make it sound like all she did was sit on the sofa and eat bonbons.
No, I'm not saying that.
You saying that rich women do?
No.
You do believe that.
Rich women do. I know.
I love it. I hear it. Here it is. It's coming. It's coming. This is the vitriol I'm talking about. You got the impression.
I'm not saying. Wait. No, let me finish. Rich women do. If they have children, they stay at home with their kids, or for those rich women that do that, they stay at home with their kids, they send them to school, they do whatever. You think they don't shop? You think
so
they don't go out and shop?
But
of course
so what?
They don't. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. My whole point in all of this was finances is so broad that you cannot tell me that because this chick... Or this, I won't even say that, because Mrs. Romney balanced the checkbook, which we don't know if she did that. Do you know that she did that? I don't know that
she
did that.
Yeah, she made that clear.
Oh, she made that clear.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
So she balanced the checkbook. Well, she
dealt with the home finance.
Okay, so, but we don't know what the scope of home finances is. I mean, you're saying if the gutters need to be cleaned, she's making sure that happens. If the pool needs to be cleaned, she's making sure that happens.
Well, I was dealing from an obscene amount of money. They've got a pool. They've got, you know, the gardening needs to be done.
But that's more than an obscene amount of money. But it takes more than that. You know.
Fair enough.
In order to do those things, you do have to have. I mean, you have to have something.
Some sense of finance.
But you still don't comprehend. So what you're doing is you see the checkbook here. You see what the balance is. You know what needs to be paid. You know what you have. You know what you can spend. You know what's in savings.
It's all being provided for you.
Okay, whatever.
It's all being provided for you.
It's being provided to you to spend.
Right. So if she had, again, what you were telling me.
She did not understand what it is like to go to a workplace and deal with employer issues on a daily basis. Wait a minute.
I need to stop you for a second.
So she's not an expert on
all
finance.
I need to stop you for a second. You were telling me the one thing that separates her from all of that is the fact that she doesn't have a job.
Yes, because having a job would then give you insight on what it's like to deal with an employer and to have to get up and go to work every day and to fill out a I-9 or a state tax form and how many dependents you have.
Hold on.
What it's like to get a W-2 and to have to file for taxes.
Wait, let's bring the guys in. Now, guys, I'm going to ask you this, and JC, I'll let you go first on this one. So Mary's clearly saying that Ann Romney did not have the demands of an employer where she had to show up for work to complete a certain amount of tasks or whatever it was to procure a paycheck. Would you differ with that or would you agree with her? Does she make some sort of point?
No. What happened to getting up 6 o'clock in the morning, getting the kids ready for school, having to get them ready for school? And then what happened when balancing a checkbook and this month is far more expensive than last month, and you got to answer as to why?
James, you go ahead.
All right. No, because, again, when you're talking about dealing with employers and employees, have you ever tried to get six unruly kids dressed for school? That's employee, employer.
So she was she met certain demands that would definitely be far in comparison to working at a regular job with a bunch of, you know, bosses or coworkers.
Dealing with bosses and all that is easier than dealing with your own children.
Exactly. And the divide there, James, is at least you can quit your job. You can't quit motherhood.
Or you can head to your cubicle. You can't go to your cubicle on a bunch of kids.
Okay, let
Yes, you can. It's called your bedroom.
Let Mary defend at least that portion of what you're saying. So what do you think about what the guys are saying?
Yes, a mother has issues at home. We comprehend that. I have three nephews and two great nephews. I have cousins. They have children. I helped my sister at 11 years old raise her newborn baby, and she was 16. I comprehend that. I know that they're difficult. I've seen the crap that she's gone through. I've seen the crap that other people go through. But once again, you cannot sit and tell me that you can relate wholly and completely to me because you understand what it's like. No, you don't. You've never had to sit in a job interview. You've never had to fill out a resume. You've never had to sit and wonder, oh, crap, are they going to call me back today? Or am I going to pass this credit check in order to get this job? Because if I can't, I'm screwed.
What does getting a job have to do with
the pressures of having to deal with screaming kids?
Those are all things that deal with finances or understanding them. She's being financed.
James, before you make that point, I want you to make that point because I hear you. I hear what you're about to say. Please promise me you'll remember that point. You said she's being financed. But shouldn't she be considering the job she's doing raising those children?
Yeah, but you still can't tell me that you know what it's like to be in my shoes, just like I can't tell you I know what it's like to be in yours.
Hold on.
You are not.
That wasn't the initial question, though.
Exactly. It's not the initial question. She's dodging that. James, make your point. I'm sorry about that. Go on.
Well, my point was just being about being financed or whatever when the woman or the man, because the roles have been reversed at times, is the money manager. The person who can be considered the breadwinner is usually the last person to know where the money's gone.
That's right.
I just went out and made it, right? But I couldn't tell you what needed to be, where it needed to be. It's the money manager that's actually running the show. I just went out and made it.
You know, I have to give this one little anecdote. When I was working in Hartford, Connecticut at Power 104, I'll never forget the second week I got my first big check. It was the first time I'd ever been paid a big check at a radio station. I was making about $70,000 a year. It was one of like the first big checks I had gotten in radio. So my paycheck, when I got it, was roughly about $2,000 in 2 weeks. I'll never forget, I went upstairs to the ATM inside my building, and I knew, you know, I got paid direct deposit. I knew I just got paid somewhere around $2,300. When I went to my ATM to go pull out $20, I noticed that $500 was out of my paycheck before I even got $20 out, because I knew that the woman that I was involved with had already taken the $500 out because she was paying bills. I'll never forget calling her on the phone going, yo, why is there $500 out of the account? Yeah, I just got paid this morning. She was like, well, how do you expect to keep the lights on? How do you expect to pay? These are bills that have to be paid. And, you know, the bills have to be paid, so I have to take that money out. So there's somebody at home who has to do that. I would never, ever have said that this woman wasn't doing a job at home. She was making sure when I got home, not only was the cable on, making sure the internet was running, so I always had, I make sure my tapes were, you know, were in place, make sure that my audio was ready to go, that when I got home, I got to sleep, made sure I had a cooked meal. I mean, come on. I mean, literally, she ran a business in my home to make sure that when I got in, the boss, quote unquote, was taken care of.
Okay, but she, okay, listen, as far as women having babies and staying home and being a stay-at-home mom, let's just get back to Ann Romney.
Mm-hmm.
They chose to have those children.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't have a choice. Wait. I don't have a choice.
If she was the man who said that, whoo!
I'm so glad you said that.
Wait
a minute. I don't have a choice to go to work. I have to go to work because the landlord ain't trying to hear it.
Well, I understand that.
There's nothing that this woman can comprehend about that, Reese.
So you're saying because she's wealthy, she can't understand struggle.
It's not just the wealth.
Well, wait a minute, but you're saying, you're making, again, another continental divide. You're saying that because she's wealthy, how could she understand struggles? And by not understanding struggles, that makes her disassociated.
Part of the 1%?
Disassociated, yeah, right.
Part of the 1%? So if you can relate to the 1%, how the hell are you going? What is the rest of the 99%?
Wait. So you're
saying
this
woman
that because,
doesn't have an opinion
because
she's of a different class?
That's right. Exactly. She doesn't have an opinion because
she
she's of a different
have an
class.
Opinion,
on finances?
She can have an opinion. We all can have an opinion.
Well, that's
but
what she was hot.
She can understand. If you are in the 1 percentile of the rest of the country, my man, you cannot sit here and tell me what everyone else in the 99% struggle is like in anything.
So she's unqualified.
And
she's
living
unqualified.
On the rock.
To understand what the average American woman is going through in this country with finances, completely unqualified.
So she has to struggle. She must be down for the struggle and in the struggle
she has
to understand.
It's that she married into this money.
So this separates her from the struggle.
Of course.
Oh, so in order for you to be understanding of the struggle, you must be poor.
You would have to have had to go through something or continue, or even if you were handed this, right? Let's say I own...
More money, more problems.
Let's say, you know, I owned a chain of stores or whatever. I have children. I die. I leave that to those children.
And then if they become trust fund babies...
And then... No, wait. And then, you know, so then they have to take on the business and they have to work to keep that business going.
And they understand finances.
So, yeah, because they have to work. They actually have to get their hands dirty in the place of giving them...
But if you owned a chain of stores... And you still got employees working for you. You just die, and you hand over all the money of the business to your kids. They don't know nothing about finances because you just gave them that. They trust fund babies.
No, because I would have taught them. Who
says nobody taught Ann Romney?
The woman.
This is class warfare in the worst sense, folks. Reese on the radio has found the root of who Mary, why you bugging is. And I thought that I was moving you over to...
She hating on bling and white chicks.
She's always going to hate on white girls.
I don't hate on white women.
Okay, wait a minute.
Go ahead, James. James,
I'm going to move somewhere else. I'm going to move somewhere else
I want you to have the last word, but I'm giving you 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say, I wanted to know where you were about this, because I know you have a problem with politicians using their families for politics. I'm surprised you're on this.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that, James. I go back to a guy by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, who said this back in the 2008 campaign. We'll play this and we'll go to the top of the hour because I agree with him. They should have never, ever attacked Ann Romney because Obama was right when he said this back in 2008 in an interview he did with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America.
What's going on in Tennessee with the GOP there and their web campaign about taking the remarks that you made earlier about being the first time in your adult life being proud of the U.S.
For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country.
Boy, I've been proud to be an American since I was a kid.
I'm proud of this country each and every day.
Should you get through this process and you have the general election ahead of you,
mm-hmm.
that this is what you can expect mm-hmm. more and more.
Yeah.
Are you prepared for that?
You know, let me just interject on this. The GOP, should I be the nominee, I think can say whatever they want to say about me, my track record. If they think that they're going to try to make Michelle an issue in this campaign, they should be careful, because that I find unacceptable. The notion that you start attacking my wife or my family, you know, Michelle is the most honest, the best person I know. She is one of the most caring people I know. She loves this country. And for them to try to distort or to play snippets of her remarks in ways that are unflattering to her, I think is just low class. And I think that most of the American people would think that as well. Whoever is in charge of the Tennessee GOP needs to think long and hard about the kind of campaign that they want to run, and I think that's true for everybody, Democrat or Republican.
We're trusting that the...
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary Adams is a man that his soul. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah! Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
It's Reese on the radio, top of the hour, 2 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. The number is 347-308-8701. Don't forget to check out Reese on the radio whenever you like. And 2 days, what's today? Thursday, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days from now, I'll let you guys know where to go. You can log on to Reese on the radio on Sunday. You can hear a live broadcast of Reese on the radio. I will be on in Louisiana on a show down there on the Silky Slim program. Trust me, I'll explain it to you later. I'll be broadcasting on his show. I taped the interview today, and it'll air on Sunday, and we're talking about everything from Trayvon Martin to Negroes being Democrats. I even talk about Kool-Aid Man. No, I'm kidding. I did not talk about you, James. but we talk about everything on that show, and it's a one-hour show. It'll air. I'll give you the details. But make sure you tune into click on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, and you can get all those details. And of course, I'll let you know on Facebook and Twitter as well. Marion, I mean, I got to say, even though Mary, I know we're going to move on, and I don't want to get any more into it. I just want to let everybody know Mary's extremely passionate about this story. And I think we will get back into it tomorrow.
Oh, we will, because I want to get into Miss Rosen and her personal issue, you know.
Yeah,
her personal life, like who she is, what her background is.
Right, right, exactly. And we'll talk about that. So we will get into that tomorrow if we don't get back into it today, because there are two other stories that I want to get into. One especially about our favorite chief of staff. For those of you who've been living under a rock, the new Black Panther Party has been, you know, screaming all of this vitriol. And JC, before or after, I should say, I played the audio. I want you to get that. I want you to get that sheet, that rap sheet, for me, so you can break down all the things that you found out today when you called me earlier. We talked about Michelle Williams. We talked about the interview that she had here on Reese on the Radio. And how she was screaming and hollering. Well, she's still in the news in Tampa. And JC and I discussed it. So I want to play for you the new audio in the Michelle Williams case. And when I call it the Michelle Williams case, oh, it's the Michelle Williams case. Now, the chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party. We're not going to let up on this woman because she was the one that was making the most noise. You know, crack a honking pig, kill him. So we have to, until she calls this show and makes amends, because she's making amends with Whitey. You know, the people she can't stand, but she didn't come on this show.
The people that are in her family?
Yeah, the black folks, the Negroes, the brother man, and sister girl.
Hey.
That used to be Teresa Hines Carey's nickname. That's your new nickname.
Oh, God.
Your sister girl. Because Mary's more black than Michelle Williams. That's sister girl right now. So let me play this, because this is important. This is Michelle Williams today, if not yesterday, on Channel 10 News in Tampa, Florida.
Michelle Williams, the chief of staff for the new Black Panthers, wanted George Zimmerman dead or alive, or at least that's what she said on the Bubba the Love Sponges show yesterday morning.
My prize right now this evening.
Michelle, you still there?
Yep, I'm listening.
Right.
It's going to be the bounty, the arrest, dead or alive, for George Zimmerman. You feel me?
Michelle, really?
I'm listening.
You are so much better than that, honey.
Get in front of Melanie Michael joins us now. Now, you talk with Williams tonight, and for the second day in a row, her comments have caused a huge firestorm, not only here in the Bay Area, but across the country.
They have, Reggie. And, you know, we received a lot of hate mail today from people out there all across the country who shared her comments and her apology in the first place. But you know what? We wanted to hear her side of the story, despite the fact that a lot of people strongly disagree with her.
I don't back off from the words that I said because I said them. They came out of my mouth. I own up to them. I've never been a coward. I'm not going to begin now. I don't know how to do it.
Michelle Williams is talking openly about her controversial comments using racial slurs.
I said them. They are out there. I can't take them back. I'm not going to take them back. I own up to anything that I've done, whether it was right or wrong.
After her comments, Michelle has heard from people all over the country. She knows her words caused a lot of anger, and she offered an apology.
One thing about me, Melanie, one thing about Michelle Williams, you better bet your job on it. I will never throw a rock and hide my hand.
Now to Williams' problems with the law.
10 News investigative reporter Mike Deason says he got calls from members of the African-American community with claims that Michelle had a criminal history. Sure enough, Mike exposed her past live during our newscast.
Mike is he's a darn good investigative reporter. Mike has a job to do. He did his job. I'm satisfied with it. I don't run and I don't hide from nothing. Nothing. I face everything that has ever happened in my life and every challenge. I face it head on.
One thing Michelle is hoping for after all this firestorm is peace for the family of Trayvon Martin.
What Trayvon Martin has done, the death of this 17-year-old black child, it has shaken the American faith right now. We have to do something about that. It's our duty. Every American, it's our duty.
You know, Reggie, Michelle Williams watched the announcement tonight. We were there with her as she was watching it live, and she says she really felt relief to hear that George Zimmerman is behind bars. And I asked her, point blank, have you received any death threats out there from all of those comments?
Right.
She said no, and she says she's not afraid to speak out. Again, got a lot of hate email today with people extremely upset, and we welcome comments from anybody out there because, as you know, it is our job to present both sides of the story.
No, we were talking earlier about some of this hate mail came.
That part's not important. You know, they talked about where they got the hate mail from, and it was all over the country.
I want to hear the rap sheet.
Oh, I know you do. JC, please proceed. What Michelle Williams' rap sheet, my man, and leave my favorite one, you and our personal favorite one, leave that one for last.
Docket number 23495, Orlando, Florida, Seminole County.
JC, please tell me you're there. Oh, where did he go? Oh, come on. All right, we'll wait for JC. But here's the reason why I wanted to play that. Because if you haven't heard, here's a woman that says that she don't hide her hand when she throws a rock.
In my words that I had to say out of anger, will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings.
The chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party is offering an apology.
My words were out of anger. I did not incite, I did not promote, nor did I encourage anyone to go and pick up a gun.
In an online interview this week, Michelle Williams spoke openly of her frustration over the Trayvon Martin case. Her words were not taken lightly and were replayed Tuesday morning by nationally syndicated radio talk show host Bubba the...
So what happened? James, aren't you disgusted?
Disgusted? I'm just shocked. Shocked and awed.
Yeah, I'm like, how in the hell did this... Let's find out. JC, are you back?
JC!
He's not back yet. I got to make sure that he's back. I'm in a minute, he'll be back, because he's got to run this down for us. But isn't this strange that this woman was screaming? It was almost like, because she was in her comfort zone with her own people, she's screaming and hollering, killer cracker, killer cracker. And
well,
then,
I don't know about that. I mean, not even in her comfort zone with her own people, because, you know, she thought the we here at the show were all white. So, and you know how that went.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but just to the complete turnaround, just seemed kind of disingenuous to me.
Yeah, it was awful. Just for me, what stunned me was the fact that this woman would make all of these claims about how angry she was at the African-American community. I mean, pardon me, at the white community, and was talking about how, you know, black people were going to have these levels of retribution.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
I got to show you these pictures, Mary.
Oh, my God.
That's Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office.
Oh, booking.
That is her booking image. That is her. That is the Oprah 1995 look that she has there. This is another arrest picture of Michelle Williams, also in Hillsborough County. She's been arrested maybe 3-4 times at best. Okay, JC's back. JC,
yeah, sorry, guys.
That's all right. Can you do me a favor? Because
yeah.
I saved this for the guys. Please run down the rap sheet of our very fair new Black Panther Party chief of staff, Miss Michelle Williams. Please run down the rap sheet for me.
Give me 1 second.
Okay. Well, while he's doing that, what I find personally ironic is that, you know, you're looking at the mugshot, and she looks like Oprah 1995. And then when she was in the interview with the white lady, she sounded like, you know, Oprah from Color Purple, you know, I Knew There Is a God speech.
I was actually thinking Cecil from Beloved.
I would have gone there too. Hold on.
In my words that I had to say out of anger, will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie.
Yeah, here's the part that here's the part that makes me mad. Now they're the American people. They ain't honky pig cracker. Now they're the American
they're no longer just pink.
Yeah, now it's the American people. If my words. How you doing?
With regards to Michelle Williams.
Go for it.
Who was once known as Michelle Conyers.
That's right, Michelle Conyers.
Yep, had several run-ins with the law. She's been arrested on charges ranging from aggravated assault with a handgun to fraudulent use of personal information, fraudulent use of a credit card, petty theft, and 2 counts of grand theft, and 2 counts of forgery and exploitation of, get this, an elderly person.
Yeah.
She robbed old people.
The new Black Panther.
Old white people.
The new Black Panther Party did not do a background check on her.
Wait. This woman robs the old people. Now, what do you think? How many times do you think in the whole of her rap sheet that she committed a crime against honky white pigs?
None of them.
Not one. I put an amount of money on it. It wasn't one.
I can almost guarantee you when she took that credit card into that Walmart and bought all those electronics, she ran up to the counter with that credit card. That woman did not look at the credit card and look at her and say, Martha Polowatsky? No.
Martha Polowatsky?
Yeah.
That's just awful.
I can almost guarantee you that card said Eula Mae Robinson.
Yeah. Now, what can we take? Now, can we honestly say for once and for all that the credibility of the chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party, if not the whole organization,
and whoever the hell hired her,
yes, is complete shot.
Okay, wait a minute. All right, now, playing devil's advocate here, you know, everyone has a past, you know, she might have seen the light. How long ago was her last incarceration?
I believe 2005. Is that correct, JC?
Yeah, it was 2005. But if she's seen the light, whose name was the light then?
Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. Listen,
it says here fraudulent use of personal information.
Yeah, fraudulent use of personal. I mean,
identity theft.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was identity theft. And this woman is screaming for justice. She's screaming for justice.
She's probably not even married. Williams just might be a name that she's taken because you don't find too many African Americans named Conyers.
When she wanted to join the new Black Panther Party, she knew she wasn't getting in with Conyers.
Mm-mm. I told you she just wanted to belong.
I don't get how this woman could be screaming for justice and out there committing crimes.
She probably cooks instant grits.
Now, as James would say, now you just get perfect.
And she's in the South, too. Instant grits.
So we can honestly say, the new Black Panther Party, no offense, Sean Quali, Khalid Muhammad, and Michelle Williams, you know, look, I'm sorry. We tried with you folks. We gave you more credibility than you deserved because we wanted to at least.
No, wait a minute.
We
you
did.
Can't say, wait a minute.
Yes,
you can't say that Sean Quali and brother Khalid or whoever it was that you mentioned.
Khalid Muhammad.
Is it Khalid Sheikh Muhammad?
That's KSM. But anyway. We can't say what?
You can't discredit that. You can't discredit them for the actions of this young lady.
I'm not saying
I agree with their outlook on how to deal with things and, you know, the way the country.
Whoever interviewed her for the position.
There was
or
no.
What, or was she self appointed?
Probably. You know what? We'll end on that. It couldn't get any better.
Nobody else wanted the job.
Probably right.
He walks around the office looking for strange things to happen.
Do they even have an office?
No, I don't. I don't know.
Her kitchen table.
That's the white man won't let them have an office. Won't give them a lease.
Wait, I wonder if her grandfather comes by to visit when they're in their meeting.
No, I bet not. That's not happened. Hey, when we come back, John Lovitz, a comedian from Saturday Night Live, he's going after a bunch of teenage girls. That's right. He's going after a bunch of teenage girls. We'll find out how and why when we get back at Priest on the Radio. Stick around. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack? What's in the new chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in
the new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ResonTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ResonTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right.
Okay.
www.ResonTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, it's Reese on the Radio, 26 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. On this Thursday, April the 12th, 2012. And as we like to do on Therapy Thursday, we always like to get into at least a little bit of entertainment news. I don't know whether or not you guys actually heard this story, but when I heard it, there were several factors that bothered me, and I'm going to cover an entire 30 minutes of this. This is the only subject we're going to get into because I want all – I know – and again, here I go again telling everybody what it is that I know they're going to say, but I know this in my heart. You're going to agree, and you're going to be just as baffled as me when you hear this story. John Lovitz, famous from Saturday Night Live, went to the news media and went on Twitter to attack a couple of teenage girls. Now, you have to find out, of course, what the teenage girls did that got him so upset. I know you will agree with him, but the question is whether or not it was right for him to do one particular part. The other part is whether or not the police department in this case actually handled it poorly. Here's the story.
In what the LAPD is calling an ill-advised prank, police say three teens admitted to using maple syrup to draw a swastika on the front walkway of a Jewish family's home in Northridge, the home of one of their classmates. They also left feces on the doorstep. Comedian John Lovitz has now taken to his Twitter page to denounce the incident, calling it an insult to all.
And this is the worst thing you could do to terrorize a family outside of actually harming them physically. It's psychological damage.
Lovitz's childhood friends with the homeowner, who he says is the son of Holocaust survivors. The LAPD says because the swastika didn't leave permanent damage to the property, it doesn't rise to the level of a hate crime. But investigators are now looking into whether the mother of one of the middle school girls who admitted to the so-called prank could face criminal charges for driving the girls to the house in the middle of the night.
What's the difference between what they did and if someone drove their children to an African American neighborhood and they burned a cross on the lawn, it's the same, and it would be terrorizing, this girl.
Lovitz says he was picked on in school, and he says his friend's 14-year-old daughter has been bullied by the three girls. The comedian posted a photo that he says shows the girls making an obscene gesture at the camera, We chose to blur their faces. Lovitz did not.
Then you got three girls against one. Well, now you got two against three. And who else is going to join in this?
Police tell me if the mother is charged, it won't be until early next week because of the Easter and Passover holidays. And it's the proximity of the incident to these religious holidays that has so many in the community outraged.
Now, wait. There's so many layers in this story. There's so many layers.
How do I count the ways?
Right. Let me break this down for you. So, they put syrup swastikas on the door and leave feces. The cops say no hate crime because the syrup wasn't permanent. So, it wasn't spray paint. So, it was syrup. The mother drove the three girls to the girl's house to put swastikas on the door.
And probably bought the syrup and gave them the baggies to leave the poop in.
Well, don't forget, if she was a stay-at-home mom, she couldn't afford it because she can't do the finances. Anyway, but that being said, truth be told, now John Lovitz has put the girls' pictures on his Twitter account. And another layer is the cops refused to press charges because of the Easter and Passover holidays, and they said that they wanted to wait until afterwards. I want everybody's response on this one. This is the best story ever.
Just, wow. Cyberbullying and just, where do you start? The mother drove them.
I know.
Okay, if you hide it, you can hide the syrup, but didn't the feces stink? You can't tell me she didn't know what was going on.
Well, the mom was literally a part of this. She was clearly a part of this. She's culpable in this crime. But
I'm speechless.
That's exactly why you shouldn't be a stay-at-home mom.
You got too much time on your hands.
Yeah, she just had way too much time on her hands.
If your behind was sitting at work.
Right. If the mother was at work, the girls would have never been there.
I wonder if they all went out for tacos the night before.
What? I get it.
That's crazy, Jamie.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that when we're off the air. I almost feel like
tacos.
No, the politician that said, I don't know, I may have tacos tonight.
Yeah, all right, never mind. Thanks,
no,
guys.
No, it was related to the feces. Hello?
Okay, I'm missing that. I'm sorry.
Oh,
explain it.
They had tacos.
Nasty.
Oh, right. Okay, you're saying that the tacos would have induced the... Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, well, I don't want to know whose fecal matter it was, but here's what I'm saying. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's break down the layers. So the police department said it's not a hate crime because syrup melts or it can be washed away. That's obviously ridiculous.
The police department doesn't say
that's
ridiculous.
The law does. The police department said it doesn't reach the level of a hate crime because
the police department didn't make that law up. There was a law written in, obviously. What do you think? The police department said, oh, well, it didn't leave any stains on the door.
Actually,
so
there are pictures of the swastika. They took pictures of it.
Yeah, but that's not what she's
saying.
What I'm saying is
that was a law.
Well, doesn't
they were following the law. They weren't implementing a new law.
The way the law is written, it has to be permanent.
The police department.
Well, no, they're saying that it wasn't a hate crime because the syrup isn't permanent.
Yeah, but you're saying the police department says that. The police department did not come up with that themselves. That was a law, and that law is stupid.
Well, yeah, that's clearly stupid because if three lesbians can beat up a gay guy and it could be called a hate crime because he's gay, I mean, why wouldn't a syrup swastika constitute a hate crime?
Well,
especially around Catholic.
I mean, you know, burning a cross, you know, it's not considered, according to the law, burning a cross is not considered a hate crime because it's not permanent. The wood burns.
Okay. All right. So fine. All right. So God. So you guys.
It's ridiculous. I'm just saying.
You're saying it's ridiculous. So the bottom line is it should be a hate crime. Fine. Let's go into the second part. Okay. So the police department decides not to arrest the mother until after Easter and Passover holidays.
What?
This screams of George Zimmerman. You know what this screams of? This screams of George Zimmerman. You know, the police department is so inept in this case. They go, well, look, we'd like to go down there and arrest them, but, you know, it's Easter coming up this week.
Girls Jewish?
No, the girls clearly aren't. They put a swastika in syrup and wrote the word Jew.
So then wait a minute.
No, but Passover and Easter are right after each other. It's one after the other.
Yeah, but I'm saying, why should the girls not be arrested because of Passover and Easter? They're not Jewish.
Again, well, because of the Easter holiday, apparently, I think the police officers had plans. Well,
I got Easter dinner.
It's like,
I can't be bothered right now.
You know, the family's coming in, Chuck, and I don't think I'm going to be able to arrest him today. Can we wait until afterwards? We'd like to see them afterwards. You're giving them an opportunity to get a clean.
Exactly.
You're giving them a clean opportunity to get away. They don't arrest it. We're going to arrest the mom for driving them down there. Now, that's the part that bothers me the most.
Yeah.
The mom is actually a cohort in bullying this Jewish girl. And the fact that the man's family are Holocaust survivors. Oh, God. It's like, what other wrench can you throw into this story?
You chose the wrong people. And not only that, they're Holocaust survivors, and they have, an influential, semi-famous friend.
I love it. I'm crying out loud.
Who has his own Twitter account. You know, he's just, who's mad as hell and not going to take it anymore.
Pretty much. Now, here's the last part. Here's the part that I'm a little torn about.
He showed their faces?
Yeah.
This is the part.
This is why I saved it for last. Now these are teenagers. They're clearly under the age. But
so what? They
no, 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 no. They were old enough. Wait a minute. Hold on.
They went out to this people's house and drew a swastika. And left some feces on these people's doorstep. You grown?
And you know they had to have taken pictures or something. They had to. They were going to tell their friends. This wasn't going to be just a secret pact just with them. Okay? No. If they were old enough to commit the crime, then they should be old enough to have their faces shown that they committed this crime.
That's fine, but here's what I'm saying. So here we have teenagers who've committed a crime. Under normal circumstances, if this had been published in the newspapers would not have been allowed to publish their names or their images because of their age. John Lovitz is in a very, very precarious situation here by putting their images out there. This puts him in the ring of fire, so to speak, that he's put these images out there. The parents, for that matter, because they're underage, they cannot be identified after committing a crime. It's clear that a crime has been committed. The girls have been punished by their school. By the way, the girls have been suspended. But they've been suspended by their school. To put their images out there to some degree is a violation of their rights as minors. That's where I'm saying that John Lovitz,
I don't think they have any more rights as minors. They violated the rights of this girl and her family. I don't get that. How a perpetrator has more gets more rights than the people that
are victims.
Yeah, I never did get that. For me, it always seemed bass backwards.
No, I agree. But remember, it's what the rule says. I mean, we understand that we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have our, you know, cellular phones, our smartphones. Anything that we do can be recorded at any time. But don't you believe that there is some degree of that privacy or a part of the law that says, listen, we know that they committed a crime, but we shouldn't be allowed to post those pictures where everyone can see where those minors are identified when the law protects those minors if they commit a crime by not divulging their names. We are not divulging their names because they are underage, because they are not adults. The media has to do that, and here is social media in that regard doing exactly the same thing. As you heard in the woman's report, we will not show those girls' pictures, but John Lovitz did. And you hear the emphasis in her voice is that she's even saying, that's kind of unheard of in this, you know, in our business. You are not supposed to show the faces of minors in the commission of
John
a crime.
John Lovitz is not a reporter.
But in essence, he is. No. He's a citizen reporter because he's the one who brought light to this case. So as a citizen reporter, he went, identified the girls.
He didn't bring light to this case.
Yes,
some
he did.
Girls that committed the crime brought light to the
case.
No.
John Lovitz was the one who called the media.
I understand
he
that.
He used his celebrity to get attention to post their pictures.
But they had already – but wait a minute. They had already committed the crime. They had already been found guilty of the crime. I mean, it was a matter of public record that this crime happened and these girls were the ones who committed it, correct?
Yeah, but public record, there's no public record for juveniles.
Yeah, there's no public right. It's not
public.
Not for juveniles. It's only for adults. Now, no, there isn't. When you're a child, when you are underage, you are not allowed to post the picture of that individual and in most cases not even the name. Of that individual. Now, I don't know what the law is in California, but the bottom line is, and being considering that's
a federal law, I believe.
Well, yeah, I believe you're right about that. Because it's such a liberal state, I believe that what John Lovitz did may have been a violation of their rights. That's why she mentions that. You know, we'll bleep. We're the media. We bleeped out. He's on social media. Anybody who wants to, right now. You can follow John Lovitz and see a picture of those girls if you want to. And they believe that a violation of their civil liberties can be violated here.
Okay. And that's cool. But see, where I come from, there's two things you don't mess with. You don't mess with nobody. You don't mess with old people, and you don't mess with kids. I think what's good for the goose is good for the gander. They screwed with old people. They were Holocaust survivors.
Well, no. The Holocaust survivors don't live there. The daughter and her father live there. His family, his parents are Holocaust survivors. They don't live there with their
parents. Oh, I misunderstood
the story. No, that's what I thought when I first heard it. I was like, I thought there were Holocaust survivors in the house.
Yeah, you know, no. Regardless.
Right.
Regardless whether the Holocaust survivors are in the house or not.
Well, if they were, then they would have been charged with a hate crime. I believe they would have been charged with hate crime.
Fact
of the matter is, you knew enough about the Holocaust, all right, that you knew that painting a swastika not only insults the people living in the house, it insults the whole neighborhood, because I'm sure it's a Jewish neighborhood.
Well, I don't know if it's a Jewish neighborhood, but I'm pretty sure if John Lovitz lives in that neighborhood and their neighbors, I'm pretty sure there's a predominance of Jewish people in the community who were probably just as outraged as that. It is a form of terrorism.
John Lovitz said, even he said, come on, man, it wasn't the Gen 6, but it was in the same town where they had the white tree. They put the nooses on the tree.
That's right.
You know, this offended the whole community.
Right. Absolutely. And you're 100% right. But I'm just saying that on a level of where John Lovitz is trying to get attention, I understand that he's responding out of anger. Because he being Jewish, his friend being Jewish, for somebody to do something like that, you anger. So you respond. And you respond in such a way. But I think he crossed the line when he did that. No matter how vicious the attack was or the crime was, I think that what he should have done in this particular case is allow the law. I'm angry at one thing, is that the law, one, didn't charge this as a hate crime, which they should have, because there's an adult who's culpable and should know better than allow that. The fact that she drove him down there, she's got to be charged with a hate crime because there is not only criminal intent, but there is intent of hate.
An endangerment of children.
And an endangerment of children. That's the most important thing. But the fact that they didn't do that was insane. The biggest negligence
was negligent,
but to encourage?
Exactly. Encouraging criminal behavior, that's another thing. And let's not forget about the fact... No, I'm saying let's not forget about the fact that, you know, for them to do all of that, but for the police department to say, hey, we're going to hold off on arresting anybody, and their reason being
because it's your
holiday.
Because it's your holiday.
Yeah, it's because it's a Jewish
holiday. Of the offended people.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I think John Lovitz is going to get into some trouble for tweeting that picture.
I don't think so. I don't think so because it's still, or at least I don't think he should because, again, you know what? It wasn't like he is out putting a bounty on their heads or saying.
James, it's the equivalent of a bounty.
Yeah, all you did was put a picture. Look, this people committed a crime. These are the people that did this. That's
James,
it.
But
all you did.
If there are people out there who want to respond in a violent way because you can't control anybody in how it is. They feel as though this little girl got violated. Now these children are up, their pictures are posted. And how do you know people won't respond in a violent way? They see that girl walking down the street and say, oh, you're that little witch that put the syrup swastika on the little Jewish girls.
And, I think they should get a little taste of their own medicine. I think it's poetic justice.
Should we douse them in syrup?
I think it's right up there with a Facebook dad blowing up the computer. I mean, he didn't say, you know, these are the people, go after them. He didn't go after them. He didn't try to get them arrested. All he said was, look, these people committed a crime. These are the kids in your neighborhood. Click. That's it.
Hmm.
I think it should be shined a light on because if you protect these kids, you're not disparaging them from committing this crime again. You're not protecting them. You're encouraging them. Everybody's tripping over themselves to keep them anonymous. Then what's to stop them from doing it again?
I agree. I agree with that. I mean, you're saying that there should at least be some sort of response that really gets their attention and lets them know not only what it is that you've done is wrong, but there should be some sort of response.
I bet you they'll never be seen with another syrup bottle ever.
What? Is this going to take them away from syrup now?
Hey, they won't even go to IHOP.
No more pancakes or waffles for you.
You guys are a mess. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll end the show. When we return, we'll wrap it all up for you. It's Reese on the Radio Therapy Thursday right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos.
Levi, over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats, Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Please forgive Mary. Mary, why are you bugging? She's choking on her Am Romney comments.
Oh, my God.
It's Reese on the Radio. We're back. It is, just about 9 minutes to the top of the hour. And, okay, one more thing about the Trayvon Martin case, and we'll bring in the crew, JC and Kool-Aid Man James Montgomery. I don't know whether or not you guys heard this report. Guys, are you there?
Yep.
Okay.
Look at his teeth.
Wow. JC, how about you?
I'm here.
Okay, good enough. Anyway, Mike Tyson thinks that George Zimmerman deserves violent retribution for the shooting of Trayvon Martin. In an interview with Yahoo News about his upcoming one-man show in Las Vegas, the former heavyweight champion sounded off on the polarizing case. My personal feeling is...
No, you got to read it like Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I have to do that? Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, come on.
My personal feeling is that as a young kid that was beat on by a bully, that was pretty much singled out, this guy Zimmerman stalked him. Didn't follow instructions from the supervisor officer when they said stop following the kid. That tells you everything right there. But my all-around perspective, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But it's just so widespread over what happened. Even though this is the best country in the world, certain laws in this country are a disgrace to a nation of savages. It's the majority versus the minority. That's the way God planned it. I'm spitting on my computer, you know that? He didn't want to do something about it. He wanted us to do something about it. And if we don't, it's going to stay this way. We have to continue tweeting. We have to continue marching. We have to continue fighting for Trayvon Martin. If that's not the case, he was killed in vain. And we just waiting for it to happen to our children. He'll have gotten away with impunity. It's a disgrace that man hasn't dragged out of his big house, tied to a car, taken away. That's the only kind of retribution that people like that understand. It's a disgrace that this man hasn't been shot yet. Forget about him being arrested. The fact that he hasn't been shot. I can't finish this. I'm supposed to finish this.
That was absolutely awesome.
I
closed my eyes and caught the visual.
James, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
Holy crap.
I can't believe
I'm
you made
crying.
Me do that.
I am crying. You had to see the visuals as he was moving his hands. Like Tyson, you know, when he talks. Oh, my God.
I was kidding. I was getting in the character. I'm so
wow.
sorry.
That was awesome.
I was literally spitting on my computer when I was doing that. Now I can't even take the story seriously. I guess you can't because it's Mike Tyson.
It's Mike Tyson. Come on.
Can I ask you all a question?
You know what I think is more of a story? Mike Tyson is getting a one-man show.
Yeah, that is a bigger story.
No,
Mary,
the bigger story that Mike Tyson is still rocking a gold front and is hanging on a one tooth that's hanging around with no neighbors around it. Like, you know, and why he has this money? Why has he fixed his mouth?
Well, he doesn't have a lot of money.
Come on, and then he has the nerve to smile like that.
Well, what is he supposed to do? It's sometimes
maybe he wouldn't talk like that if he fixed his mouth.
Nah, it's crazy. This isn't about my teeth. It's about my tongue. I have a short tongue and a big mouth, and I can't talk very well.
My tongue has the cauliflower ear.
Yeah, I mean, of course, exactly. You know, if you get too close to my mouth, I might eat something on your body. I'm sorry. I apologize. That was just.
I mean, it just looks like that tooth is hanging there just ready to fall out at any given moment with the gold cap on.
I can't believe, I'm literally...
Like, it's so accentuated just sitting
there. I am literally sweating here. But yes, Mike Tyson has a one-man show.
Is this one-man show going to be out?
The top part of his mouth, his baby teeth never fell out, and his big teeth never grew in because
yeah.
the baby teeth never came out.
It is true. I don't know what his one-man show is about, but from what I hear...
It's not about anything to do with death.
It's comedy.
Yeah. Wait. Mary said it has nothing to do with dentistry. But no, that. But JC said it's a comedy. It's about his life. It's
or quite, speech class. It's...
I didn't know that this was going to go there. Or speech class. That would be a horrible show, even for Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson's speech?
Yes. You know,
Mike
I don't
Tyson
know...
in the King's speech.
You know my favorite thing? I know you guys.
Rosetta Stone.
I told Mary this. And
he
I know,
can't even say Rosetta Stone.
I told Mary this story, but there were two rappers back in the day that were very popular: Kool G Rap and Eric from EPMD. And I'll never forget when I was a kid, we used to have this joke. When I used to always say, I said, oh, did you hear that? Well, they both have speech impediments. They both have a lisp. And I used to always say, did you hear Kool G Rap and Eric Sermon are going to do an album together? And they were like, word? I was like, yeah, it's called Can You See What I'm Saying? Because they had the worst lisp. But I have to admit, the king of all lisps is Mike Tyson. That was actually fun
it's
to do.
It's just that voice coming out of that body and that, you know, the attitude that he perpetuates is like, really?
Yeah,
really?
It is impossible.
No. I mean, come on. With a voice like that, him being short and with a voice like that, he had to bulk up.
What I'm saying, this dude is like knocking jokers out, and then he opens his mouth and it's
right.
like, whoa. It's like,
you know what I think? You know what I think that Mike Tyson is? He is the personification of that moment where you see a really, really 6'9", real huge fat guy named Tiny. That's who Mike Tyson is. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you see this guy, he's all brawn.
And
you hear that voice.
And it's like, you know, he's a...
Yeah, he's got a minuscule voice. It's almost Lilliputian. All right, that's the end of our show, guys. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow for, of course, our Friday night dance party. I don't even know what it is that I got planned.
Oh, I got something planned.
Okay, well, fine. Mary's got something planned. We'll talk to you tomorrow, of course, for JC the producer, Kool-Aid Man, Jake Montgomery, and Mary, Mary, why you bugging? I'm Reese on the radio. We love you. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Peace out, peeps.
Bye.